The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
For the thousands in attendance, for the millions watching on YouTube across the land, let's get ready to rumble! In this corner, touted as the fastest way to pay down debt in half the time, to pay your mortgage down in 5 to 7 years, increase principal, increase cash flow, we have Velocity Banking. And in the other corner, from the great city of Birmingham, Alabama, from the great mind of R. Nelson Nash himself, the freedom fighter, Infinite Banking. Let's get it started.
All right, if you're ever been excited to talk about life insurance and how do you pay down debt, today we're going to bring these two heavyweights together. Let's belly up.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome into the episode of Infinite Banking Roundtable, where we are going to discuss the ideas that you want to hear. We're going to peel back the onion each and every week, and this is a time for you to get your questions answered and for you to also chime in. So if you're not a member of the IBC Roundtable, you're missing out. Right now, if you go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/innercircle, you can participate in these discussions. I'm your host today, Russ, the idea guy, Morgan, and I'm sitting here around the table with many of my fellow friends. Most importantly, the man with many nicknames, the one that I call the Stallion, Joey Murray. What's up, Joey?
What up? Glad to be here.
You got your pink shirt on today. You ready to bring it?
I had to represent, man. 5 girls, you got to wear pink every once in a while.
No doubt. And sitting next to you, we've got Ernie Downtown, the quiet, the one who gives us gives us sweet nothings in our ears and who will always ask more questions than anybody you know, but will listen to every question you ask him as well. You ready to talk a little Velocity Banking today?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to learn more personally too.
Man, that's great. When we come, we don't even know what we're going to talk about. We're all going to learn together. That's a typical discussion for us. I like it. All right. Now without, if you're not on and you're seeing the video, you don't know the man between two bamboos or the man whose shirt, outfit, and backdrop all are one, our resident pilot, the Gooch, Mark Haraguchi. How are you today, Mark?
I'm doing great, guys. Another great week to be here.
Man, last, but definitely not least, JD Hill. How's it going, JD?
It's a little disappointing because, again, I don't have that great of a nickname like everybody else, but we're gonna make it. We're going to work on something.
Well, we'll let the audience decide what your nickname is. If you guys have some ideas, throw that in the chat. We'll start adding those up. It took a while.
That's dangerous.
It took a while for me to have one. Actually, my sister herself proclaimed me the idea guy, but we don't want to hear about that day. We want to hear about Velocity Banking and IBC. But all of this has to start off with, where are we at in relationship to our goals, right, Joey? When we're talking about creating financial freedom, it comes down to a simple formula. What's that?
Yeah, exactly. We have to know the scorecard. That is, our passive income must be greater than our monthly expenses for us to have true freedom. Otherwise, we're tied to whatever active income we're doing, or we have to replace it with something else. And so that's where we're headed. And I think that today's subject matter, velocity banking, is such a hot topic. We had to kind of compare and contrast it against IBC, maybe even talk about how those two things work together. I don't know where we're going to end up, but that's where we're headed.
Well, there's four steps, Ernie, to our process. When we say, how do we create and build wealth without Wall Street? We want to make sure everybody realizes there's four steps, and we try to take them through that process. Would you help everybody know what those four steps are?
Yeah, when anybody is on the journey to financial freedom, you don't know where you're going until you know your destination. So you have to get clarity on where you are in relationship to where you want to go. And I'd say for a lot of folks, it's determining, get clear on where you want to be. And for us, that's passive income greater than monthly expenses. And when you get that clarity, now we can make some decisions. And starting with our cash flow, we get clarity, and we can get clarity over our cash flows, and we take those cash flows, and in step two, we can get control over them, whether that's better budgeting. Maybe we need to automate that thing. Maybe we need to make better decisions on not just paying down debt, but paying off debt. And maybe there are things that we can do in relationship to taxes where we can keep more of the money we make and further improve our cash flow. And if we can improve our cash flow, then we can optimize our cash flow. And that's where the infinite banking concept for us fits. So we want to get better control. And so we want to implement the infinite banking concept, the use of cash, with the vehicle of these specially designed insurance policies. And when we get control over our cash, then step three, we can pick our path. If we want to get passive income, we're going to have to take some steps towards passive income. So we're going to have to pick our path and investigating all the different opportunities there are to create income streams. And so maybe there's some education, some research, some courses, some time and effort that's needed so that you can pick your course. And then number four, we can realize our objective. We can create the lifestyle that we're wanting to live when we don't have to trade our time for money. We can live the lifestyle that we want.
No doubt.
That's like poetry, man. Can you say, I mean, pure poetry.
All right, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot because as far as I know, out of our roundtable today, you're the only one who's actually tried to enact velocity banking in its basic structure. So what is velocity banking?
Velocity banking, and there's a couple little iterations of it, but essentially what you're doing is you are tapping into a resource. And in its broadest term, if we were to Google it right now, you would be tapping into a home equity line of credit. You're then going to borrow from that to pay off your debts, be it your home mortgage, your credit card, or whatever debts that you have. And you're going to accelerate that payment process to, in its purest form, then remove all debts from your life.
So we're using a home equity line of credit strategy to help us take our disposable income to pay down our major debts, right? And for most people, that's paying down their mortgage is where they focus. Am I right on that?
Right.
All right, perfect. Now, Joey, do you believe that paying down our mortgage should be our number one strategy when it comes to getting financially free?
I don't believe that it's very efficient, especially if you take our course on paying down debt like a boss. You know, the priority payoff guide is your guide to knowing which debts are the most efficient things that you should pay off first. The mortgage inevitably is always last on the list. It really, when you think about, especially today's interest rate environment, when people are borrowing less than 3% on a 30-year mortgage, and they could be using a mortgage against a home or not, it would be absurd to pay off less than 3% debt when we could be leveraging that to create 10, 15, 20, whatever the percentage is on the passive income side.
All right. So when you said the priority payoff guide, if you're not inside our community, you may not know that that's a tool that you have access to. So the simplest way to look at this is you take your debt. Let's just use your mortgage. And let's say you have a $300,000 mortgage. Joey, what would be a good principal and interest payment on that? $1,200?
On $300,000? Probably like, yeah. I don't know, $1,700, $1,500.
Okay. So if we take $300,000 and we divide that by its principal and interest payment, take out your taxes and insurance, then that's going to give you what your index score will be. And our priority payoff guide has this little index tracker that tells you whether or not this is something that you need to be focused on and getting rid of, or if it's something that, hey, by the way, it's not really that big of a thing. And usually, what is it, over 100, if the index score is over 100, it's going to say not a big issue. Well, if I just did the math on 300,000 divided by 1,700, that gave me an index tracker of 176. You would see how that is a really one of those scores that we wouldn't want to focus on. So, but when we're talking about what you said from the very beginning, our scorecard is when our passive income is greater than our monthly expenses, we tend to say, well, man, that's a big monthly expense, $1,700. If I could eliminate that, wouldn't that help me get there faster? What would you tell them?
Yeah, well, actually, we just, JD and I were just on the phone or on a Zoom call with a client, and they actually asked this very specific question. They have a home that's worth $750,000 that they're selling, has no mortgage. And they're trying to buy a new home that's going to be over $1 million. And they're like, well, shouldn't I just use that cash to put down on the new house? And I said, well, let's gain clarity, right? Step one, what are you headed towards? Well, I want to have passive income in the next 7 or 8 years to where I can step away from my current job. I need $20,000 a month. Okay. Well, let's do the math. If I took $750,000 and I took a mortgage on that new house, and we just did the math, I think it was about $3,200 a month, wasn't it, JD?
Correct, yeah.
As far as like a payment. And I said, well, now you and this person actually also does real estate. They've invested in some turnkeys and some a duplex and other things. And I just used their numbers. And they said it took about $45,000 down payment on that rental property. And it created about $400 a month of income. When we did the math, and I'm probably a little gray on these numbers, but it was about $5,600 a month that they could create 16 rental properties with that $750,000. And if they leveraged it with a $3,200 mortgage, they're still in the good by $2,400 a month. And I said, now you tell me what you should do, right? If this is your clarity, let's take control. The second step, and let's make decisions based on that. And they're like, wow, that makes all the sense in the world. Why would I pay off this mortgage? So that's my answer to that.
So when we say that you take your debt and you divide it by your monthly payment, now you can't divide by zero, right? But if you the next highest the next number to zero is one. So if you took $750,000, you divided by one, JD, what does that number come out to be?
$750,000.
Yeah. So if any number over 100, it says don't focus on paying that off. Do you think that would be one that should be a priority for someone?
No.
No, it shouldn't. So that's a good point for us always to look at that, because it comes down to cash flows. But I want to talk about velocity banking, because there's some people that find this idea fascinating, and they come to us and they say, I heard about velocity banking. And I love the fact that infinite banking has this sort of similar concept. Can I combine them? So first, let's kind of break down the math for people of how, or really what's going on. I know we gave a high level kind of definition, but if we get down underneath the curtains or underneath the sheets, whatever, however you want to say this, behind the curtains, underneath the sheets, whatever, what's really going on? Who wants to break that down for me?
Mark, why don't you jump in there?
You know, I didn't exactly hear the bus coming, but I felt the hands right at the last minute push me in front.
Hey, Ernie, for those watching this, would you be the one drawing the numbers out? Because I want to actually play numbers out on the screen as we talk right now, because I learn through pictures, and usually they're written in crayon. So let's take this and put this for people who are watching, and we'll try, if you're riding down the road just listening to this, we want to try to do our best to describe what's happening. But if you are listening or watching, I want you to get full view of this. So will you keep score for us?
Yes, I will.
Is this Pinterest? Yes. Yes, it is, Lance. Lance has given us grief about Pinterest, and right now I am pinning this to my board.
The fact that you're familiar with Pinterest says a lot.
Oh, man. Come on now. Guys, at this point in life, Joey's wearing a pink shirt. I can be into Pinterest. So, all right, Mark. So let's just use an example. Let's say I have a $300,000 mortgage, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have a $10,000 monthly income that's net of taxes. That's what's coming into the house. And let's say I've got $8,000 a month in monthly expenses, which also includes my mortgage payment of $1,700. All right. And so in this example, $10,000 a month is my income, $8,000 a month is my overall expenses. So I have $2,000 extra. And in the traditional model, what would I do? I just take that $2,000 if I was trying to pay down my mortgage faster, and I just pay it off. But with Velocity Banking, walk us through the steps of how somebody would take this strategy. The payment's $1,700, Aaron. All right, go ahead, Mark.
The way it was explained to me is we take that $2,000 of leftover cash flow. Okay, you got that $2,000. Now, the first thing you got to do is you need to go and get a home equity line of credit.
Okay. So with the home equity line of credit, I'm going to basically pay off the existing mortgage?
Yep.
Okay.
So I go get the home equity line of credit, and we'll talk about that part later, but we get it. Now, the way it was explained to me, and this was about 17, somewhere about odd years ago, you take your existing cash flow, and you're going to multiply that by 3. So that's $6,000.
Okay.
Times it by 6. So it'd be 12. So now we're going to take that $12,000 number, and we're going to go to the home equity line of credit, and we're going to withdraw $12,000. I'm going to take that 12 grand and make a principal only payment to my mortgage.
All right. I'm going to back up just a second. So we have to give this house a value. So let's assume the house is $400,000. Joey, what can we get a home equity line of credit against a $400,000 house?
Typically it's 80%. So $320,000.
Okay. So we have a $320,000 line of credit, and we use that line of credit to pay off our $300,000 mortgage in the Velocity Banking concept, right?
True.
So now I take a principal and interest mortgage that was fixed, and I move it all into a home equity line of credit, which one of the cons in this is that I'm now moving to a variable rate.
That's
right. One of the positives is that now I only owe interest on that $300,000. I don't owe principal and interest, right? So JD, really quickly, tell me what $300,000 times, we're just going to use 5% for the sake of simple math, is divided by 12.
So what, 15,000 divided by 12?
Yep.
That's right.
$1,250.
Okay. So that's the interest payment that has to be made. All right. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry. I want to make sure everybody's keeping track of this.
So we've taken out 12. Now our $300,000 existing mortgage, subtract the $12,000 that you made as a principal only payment. And now you're at $288,000 of outstanding principal.
Okay, I don't understand. Where did the $12,000 come from?
$2,000 of cash flow times 6 months equals $12,000. Because the theory is you've got to be able to have a way to pay back your HELOC in a reasonable period of time. If you're not refilling your HELOC coffer, then all you've done is just create another outstanding loan balance. And you know what, this might be a new version, but the version that I was explained to is you go get a HELOC for as much money as you can, and it's 80% loan to value. So if you already have a $300,000 loan, you only have $20,000 more of value that bank is going to be willing to be number two in position four, right?
Okay. So I have a $20,000 HELOC. And so then I turn around and I take $12,000 out and I go to the mortgage company and I pay down $12,000 on my mortgage.
Correct.
And so my mortgage balance in theory drops from $300,000 to $288,000.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm following now, you now. So now what do I do?
And now I'm still making my monthly payments, right? I'm still making my monthly mortgage payments and everything, but every mortgage payment that I'm making now, for those of you in the chat, as my principal goes down and I make the same exact mortgage payment, am I paying more or less for interest and premium as we move through time?
Well, if I'm making principal payments down on it from the home equity line of credit, and I'm still making the same payment I was before, because you're saying we're not going to recast the payment. I'm not going to make the mortgage company do a new balance check for me and figure out, oh, your payment's no longer $1,700. It's now $1,450 because you made a payment, right? Okay. So if you keep making the same payment on a lower balance, more is going to go to principal than what was happening before, correct?
Exactly. And that goes to what Lance just said in the chat. Isn't there an arbitrage on simple interest on the HELOC versus compound interest on the 30 year? Yeah, this is the benefit that is being extolled from this process of you're knocking down the principal that much quicker. You're still making the same payment, but your payment is now being more effective. And this is what we talk about when we talk about our previous podcasts about sale contingent on, right? I'm gonna assume your mortgage because you're 5, 10, 15 years down the road, it's more efficient.
Right,
subject to, thank you. I was having a brain fart there. All right, so your $300,000 mortgage is now a $288,000 outstanding balance. You keep making your payments. And this cash flow, this $2,000 cash flow every month, we are now pushing all of our free cash flow back into the HELOC to fill it back up. So that as soon as it fills back up and you have no more HELOC, it should take just about 6 months. You pull out that exact same multiplier, 6 times your available cash flow, and you put that, boom, like Ernie just drew right there, another swipe at your outstanding balance. And now you're $288,000 minus 6 months of payments. Now you're gonna knock off another 12 grand. And so the theory is that you are accelerating the payments. Your mortgage payments are becoming more efficient. You're dramatically reducing the principal, and in essence, you are paying less cumulative mortgage interest payments.
All right, perfect. So let's stop there, because I know for people who are driving down the road that are trying to poke their eyes out as we speak, because they're like, I don't quite follow the numbers, but it sounds like from what Mark said, I'm able to pay down my house faster. So this is what people under the benefits of Velocity Banking group would say, is that I can decrease my debt rapidly, I can increase my principal payments, I can increase my monthly cash flow, I can, some are saying that they can increase their cash availability, which I'm a little off on that one, but it is definitely a strategy that helps people focus and start hammering down at one of their largest debts, right? So most would say, what a great idea.
That's right.
And I think one other benefit is people like the idea of using all of their cash efficiently. And this is a simple way that they can think to make all of their cash work for them.
All right. So Joey, what do you say to this? Okay. So we always go compared to what? And I think this is one of those moments where is this a chance for us to really and start focusing on a debt and start paying it down. I can hear Uncle Dave right now just clapping in the background.
He's like, finally, these guys are doing something smart. Right. No, actually, Dave, we're going to poo-poo this and give you some cons here, okay? Bottom line, what we started with was, number one, the mortgage is not your focus. So we're already focused on the wrong side of the equation. In my opinion, we're working on the least efficient debt that we have. And so number one, we're starting in the wrong place. Number two, home equity lines are controlled by a bank. They're issued by a bank. And when I say controlled, that means just like that person was in my office at Wells Fargo in 2009. And she came in and she showed me this letter and she said, Hey Joey, what does this mean? And there clearly on the letter, it says your home equity line of credit availability is 50,000 when previously it was 200,000. And why do you think that is? It's because they, as the bank, are in control of that line of credit. And they're only going to allow you to have exposure up to their, what they think is a reliable number for them, right? So that they're not over leveraged. And in this case, you know, they can make too many changes, the rate, your availability, and so on. And not to mention, we're putting it in the wrong place to begin with. Those are just my initial thoughts.
JD, what's your thoughts on this? Obviously, we've gone through a couple positive and negative. What's your take?
You know, I think it's interesting, right? If step two is control, right, of what we're trying to set up in the process, this is relinquishing that control. I also think it's interesting, you know, which is kind of a paradigm shift. The closer you get to actually paying off a house, the more risk you have in the house.
What do you mean by that? I know what you mean. So, what do you mean?
Well, I know what you mean, but what do you mean? So when I first take out a mortgage, right, I had the least amount of risk in the house because I had the least amount of money in the house. And the bank carries the majority of that risk. But as I continue to pay that house down over time and I'm paying down the principal, the bank is receiving those payments every single month, right? So their liability is being reduced, but my risk is actually being increased as I get closer to paying that house off. Because should say I have 5 years left on my mortgage and I fall on hard times and they foreclose, the bank now gets a house that's essentially paid off for next to nothing that they can then turn around and go sell for even more profits. Right. And, and the whole time they stayed in control of that asset the entire time. The only way for me to get that equity back is if I sell my house.
Exactly.
I think that's a point that sometimes overlooked in the pay down the house strategy. Mm-hmm. Is that until it's paid off, you are the one at risk, unless it's at the very beginning. I mean, this is a great example. If you don't really understand or follow what JD just said there, imagine two houses sitting side by side. They're exactly the same. I mean, just go in the cookie cutter neighborhoods and the two people who built their houses side by side pick the same plan, right? That happens, unfortunately. And I mean, they switch the colors on the front door, but everything else is exactly the same. Now, 5 years in, one of them had an interest-only mortgage and has paid nothing down on their $400,000 house, and they owe $380,000, whatever the number is. The other was doing this strategy. And in 5 years, they've knocked down the balance of their house to $100,000. I mean, it's amazing, right? And so the values, though, of the two houses would be the same. True?
Yes.
They're both worth, let's say, $400,000. One, though, owes $380,000. One owes $100,000. Now, they work at the same corporation. That corporation lays everybody off during COVID. These two guys or gals now are without jobs and can't make their mortgage payments. Which of the two will be the first to be foreclosed on?
The guy that was doing velocity banking.
Yeah.
Why?
There's a whole lot more to gain from the bank's perspective in that case than the other one.
No. That's incorrect. The bank can only collect their debt. They cannot take the balance. So why would the bank collect on the $100,000 balance versus the $380,000?
Because it's going to be super easy and fast. It's like a super easy sale.
Which one do they get their money back faster? If the bank wants their $100,000, can they go put a sign in the yard for $200,000 and sell that house in a really short period of time?
Immediately. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. But in order to get the $380,000, what do they have to do? What's the sign in the yard have to be for?
It's going to be exactly what happens when you go down to the foreclosure auction and you see this beautiful house and they go, okay, opening on this house and the starting bid is, and the bank person steps forward, $380,000.
But see, they can't.
Walks away.
But you and I know they can't sell it for $380 because they still have to pay commissions to a realtor. They
That's
have
right.
to sell it for $400 or more to try to net the $380. So
exactly.
when the bank wants to foreclose on one of those two, who are they going to give some leniency to? The one who's not paid down anything. And this is that's the part right. that's overlooked in the process. Not to mention, for everybody whose parents out there have paid off a house and have gone to the bank to try to get a home equity line of credit to do some sort of renovation, or who decided, hey, I want to take advantage of some of these low interest rates, and they wanted to go back and refinance. Do you know what they're being told right now?
No.
Joey, what are they being told right now? You are the mortgage guy. They've been retired for 10 years. What are they being told right now?
Do what now?
Yeah, they're being told no.
They're being told no. They're being told you cannot get a mortgage.
Chase and Wells Fargo just announced that they're not doing cash out refis right now.
They're not giving a – we're going through this right now with a 70-year-old client. They want to get cash out of their house. Their house is appreciated. They've got a lot of money tied up in it. They're listening to our podcast, and they're saying, I want money out. I want to do some of these other deals that I'm listening to create some other streams of income because I want to pass down money and get this generational thing going. And we're having so much trouble with their banker because the bank's trying to figure out how they look at this for how they're going to pay me back.
So let me ask this question then, right? And it's under all of this is who owns the equity in a paid off house? You or the bank?
The bank.
The bank.
100%. Well, they have the steering wheel, right?
Right. Because if I want it, I have to go ask permission, right?
That's right. It's like when I get in the car with my 15-year-old and I let her drive and I sit in the passenger seat. Now, who owns the car? I do. But who's in control?
She is.
That's right. And that's scary. That really is scary. So there's just one of the things I just want to bring this back to Velocity Banking. There is some I like the concept of what they're trying to do, but I don't like one paying down that asset. So Joey, give a comparison. What is it that we could do instead?
Well, this is what I love. So Don Perez is in here telling us very clearly versus infinite banking, the cash value is guaranteed, the access is guaranteed, the cash value has a guaranteed growth rate. I mean, these are the things that we're comparing this to, right? Not to mention the profit. Like when you talk about guaranteed growth rate, does the bank on a home equity line of credit, is the person profiting in the transaction? Even as you think you're getting ahead by paying down this mortgage so quickly, that equity line is their vehicle of profit. Why wouldn't we subsequently, to your point, Russ, what do we love about Velocity Banking? It's that someone is taking control of their budget. They recognize their surplus and they're using it, as Ernie said, as efficiently as possible. Now, the misguided part is the vehicle. Why don't we take that surplus cash flow, start putting it into our control? And again, this is the other part of control. If I'm constantly paying down that equity, as JD said, I'm not the person in the driver's seat of that equity. But if I put that in a policy outside of my home, and let's say 5 years in, I mean, I don't know if you remember this, Russ, but 5 years ago, were you thinking like you are today?
No, not yet.
Not even close, right? So 5 years down the road, how are you going to be thinking? Dramatically differently, we hope, right?
I hope that I'm seeing more things that I never knew existed than I did today.
Exactly. You're going to continue to be exposed in our community and the people we interview and so forth. But if I can fast forward 5 years from now and I've been putting money away into a policy I own and control, and then I decide to pay off my house, that's great. But if I decide to do something else that would be far better for me, I can make that decision. It's options that I'm getting by doing it like this. So you cannot mitigate that incredible part of this. You have options that someone else doesn't have, and that gives you more availability for deals.
So Ernie, where should we be building equity?
We should be building equity in a place where we can practice the golden rule. That's about control. Whoever has the gold makes the rules. And we're talking about velocity banking almost as if it's bad. Well, it's good for somebody. And I think we've talked about that. Let's recognize that velocity banking through a HELOC is actually good for the banks. So if we can practice it in a place that we can control, that's what Joey has said. And then it'd be really good for us. And actually, we'd be fans of velocity banking through a policy that we own and control.
And I do think that they're the strategy behind this. We are seeing this play out. I mean, if you haven't seen Joey's video of how do I make my premium equal my income, we'll have to make sure if somebody throws the actual title of that YouTube video in the chat. But that is really velocity banking using the line of credit as the insurance policy, right, Joey? I mean,
that's right.
We want to be building equity in a life insurance contract, as Don said, was guaranteed to grow. I have guaranteed access to it. There's some other benefits that come along with that. Equity in a life insurance policy versus equity in a home have lots of similarities. And that's one of the ways we always like to kind of first start out helping people see, well, how does this work? Well, you know how the equity in your house grows, and as you put money in it, it continues to get more and more and more. They're like, yeah. And you know what happens if your neighborhood happens to go up and it appreciates, to get a little bit bigger? Well, that's what's happening inside the insurance policy, except there's no guesswork there. It just is going to do it every single year. Ah, okay. But you know, the difference is when you want to access money in your house, you either have to sell it, refinance it, or take home every line of credit. Either way, it's not real easy. Yeah. Well, this is a simple, just a form, and you tell them where you want them to send it and how much you want. And they're like, oh, that makes sense. Right. So this is a conversation I'm really glad that came up. I'm really glad that those of you who are listening or participating in the chat. Any other comments from the chat, Mark, that we want to hit before we jump into a full-on blown, like letting the people in the chat talk to us? What do we need to hit?
I think we've covered them, and I think we're good to step on into the roundtable.
Joey, take us home.
All right. If you are not a part of our inner circle, this is your opportunity to do so. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/innercircle, where you can be on the inside learning these things from all of our coaches and those that are on the same path with you to financial freedom. Hope you enjoyed today's topic. If you have a specific topic you want us to cover, let us know. Shoot us something in an email or come into our community, and we're happy to take that on in future episodes. We will see you next week.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.